All right, some ludicrous to get us going here tonight. It's Eric, Q105 Studios, waiting for Trigger Meals to come by. I have seen it on Twitter. I have retweeted his pictures a ton. It looks delicious. I don't know if he's bringing food. I didn't ask him to. I just think what he's doing is big time, off of like 37 or 47 bucks, and he's going from out of BG, from Ziggy's. I know he's going up to UM and down to OSU, and he's regional. He might be national off his 47 bucks, a BG student. We'll get to know him in just a bit. It's a little after 5 o'clock here on Thursday, August 16th. In the previous episode, I made a big announcement. I made an unusual announcement. If you know me, and thank you for following me and supporting me. Not that I haven't earned it. Like, I've worked hard. Got to go to my first stop, Lucas County Suicide Prevention Coalition board meeting today. Board meeting. We'll be out at the American Foundation of Suicide Prevention, AFSP, out of the darkness walk on October 6th. Part of my friend Rachel Vallis, my friend F-word, has now had me hosting that for 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. It'll be my fifth year hosting that, bringing people who have had their lives touched by suicide. So I think I've earned your support, and I appreciate it. And I'm gonna live up to your expectations. And we're gonna kind of go in that direction before we get Trigger Meals in here again. That big announcement is just an unusual thing for me. It has nothing to do with work. Work's all steady as is, on the air every night, 7 to midnight on Q105. Thank you for listening. Let people know. I know radio was jolted a year or so ago, but still doing what we do, and now cranking out these podcast episodes commercial free. And I'm going to warn you right now, the language that I'm going to play is worse than anything we have ever said from a tweet that I saw today, and it meshes with a little bit of the announcement that I made. I am doing my due diligence, and again, not big, but unique for me. It's not relationship, it's not work, but never in my life have I gone to look at houses. Sure, I've looked at them online and said, oh wow, that's $500,000, I'll never afford that, but I've never had a dream house. I love where I live in downtown Toledo. Every minute I've lived in Toledo, I've lived in the place I've lived since like January 8th or 9th of 2013. But I need to explore my options. The longer version of that in yesterday's podcast. As I've been driving around, now, look, I need to put this filter on this whole thing. You know how sometimes you hear the line that goes, we're all a little bit racist, we're all a little bit... We all have biases, and most of us, the good people, can think about it and stop and go, wait a second, I think like that because of this, this, and this, and it's the bias is not a reality. And we all often use generalizations in our life, and it trips us up because no one or no thing is all one thing. Okay, good. And the quicker you can get that out of your head, the more peaceful life and more satisfying life we'll all kind of live. So I've been driving around to these neighborhoods, and I am forced to be judgmental, right? And again, I think I get a reputation of having an oversized opinion. And I don't like the word judgmental. That's so pejorative. Such an accusation, like it's a bad thing. We all judgmental. Like, we all have opinions, and it is nearly impossible to stop your brain from thinking a thought, especially things that are deeply ingrained in our minds. That's why, like, the biases. You get to a point where you recognize you're going to think a certain way, so you got to stop yourself. And then over time, you can retrain your brain. You can the brain is plastic, neuroplasticity. You can retrain your mind. But I'm driving around these neighborhoods, and I'm judging. Would I want to live here? Would I potentially want to live next to these people? Oh, their lawn's not real well kept. Oh, these people are out, you know, shirtless and working on their car. Are these the... And I think almost everyone who is looking for a place to live considers this. Living in apartments my whole life, I've learned the trick of, do you want to know who you're living next to? Look at the vehicles in the parking lot. Not one or two, but take as much Everything is a data point. I heard an NBA general manager say before, and I liked that a lot. Everything is a data point, and gather as much data as you can digest and usefully apply. So there's your hint. If you're looking for apartments, look at the vehicles. And I also know, because I've been taught at a very young age, don't judge a book by its cover. We've all heard that kid-friendly cliche. Don't judge a book by its cover. And maybe what I looked at, maybe just because that person doesn't keep their lawn neat, they're still a wonderful human being. Maybe there are other circumstances why the lawn in there wasn't well kept, or something else. Something else was a little unkempt about the neighborhood or the houses. But again, I'm forming opinions just as you would, trying to figure out where is best for me to live. And what do I want to be close to? How do I want to live? Where do I want to live? What do I want to live around? We all go through these, and we have to kind of do our best to put our biases at bay. But back to don't judge a book by a cover. We have all been in a situation where, I hope we've all been in a place where we have looked at someone and stereotyped or prejudged them. And I hope you have taken a moment to engage with this human being, and had them bat your expectations and stereotypes aside. Maybe you looked at someone who, what's the best example to use so I don't sound like a total asshole? I'll just go with intelligence. Let's say you looked at someone and go, wow, that person, they look really dumb. Maybe because it's the way they're dressed. Maybe it's the way they're wearing their hat. Or, you know, I always like to say neck tattoos. You know, okay, I'll use my preconceived notion. I see neck tattoos, and I'm pretty certain, you know, neck tattoos, maybe they look like gang things. I'm pretty certain that you were never going to be working in 9-to-5 or 8-to-6 corporate America. But maybe I meet you, or I look at you and go, that person doesn't work at Owens Corning. But then I meet you, I engage with you for a couple minutes, and I'm like, holy shit, this person just puts on a high collar, and they're a solid manager at a pretty big corporation. I think it's great when we judge the book by the cover, but we open the book up and see the substance in that human being. So I hope you can take advantage of those opportunities that are presented before you. And have your expectations smacked away. There are also times, do you ever hear, and I don't believe, there are people that I'm better than. You might be one of them. There are people that are better, much better than me, like better human beings. I realize this. Equality is one thing. Treating people with humanity and civility, that's one thing. But these are different circumstances. And I would like people to be treated better and us to get past these stereotypes. But there is a hierarchy of humanity. And people, you're probably thinking, Eric, you're not any better than I am. I'm no better than you are. That's false. And I like the fact that we're all different. I would like us to be able to think smarter and pause for a second and get past those differences and see each other out. But different circumstances, different upbringings put us in a hierarchy. Sometimes it's decided by DNA. I can't speak so much for intelligence, whether if, you know, two babies are born and one is going to have a high IQ and can learn a lot and get an Ivy League education and a scholarship, and the other one just can't make it through high school. I don't know. Some people have what I stole from someone online. They have genetic affluency or genetic affluence. Good-looking parents, athletic parents are probably going to make a good-looking, athletic kid. Probably, not always. And again, I can't give you the physiology or the biology behind that, but I would bet that, you know, those two parents would create their offspring. That's why you see now, I'm watching the NBA and Major League Baseball and other sports, and sons of players I watched growing up in the 80s and 90s, their kids are now playing. So this is just kind of how DNA works. I was just looking at someone I follow, a beautiful fitness model on Instagram, and I looked over to the guy she dates. He's a fitness model. And it's like, you know what? I never had a chance to look like that guy. If I worked as hard as I possibly could, maybe I could come in the same ballpark as someone who looks like that. But he had genetic affluency. He had a head start with his DNA. If you want to refute my Eric pseudoscience on this, by all means, because that's like the genetic stuff. Let's get to the learned stuff and why I believe that I am better than some people, and I almost detest when someone says, you're no better than I am, you're no better than anybody else. Let me play something for you with extremely vile language to tell you why I don't like when you say, you're no better than I am. And again, I'm warning you now. This is not like us saying shit or fuck or anything like that. Listen closely. This was, I retweeted this today, and it's on my Facebook page. And I guess, not surprisingly, didn't get a lot of engagement. So at that point, I knew I had to talk about why I believe I am better than this person.
Shut up! What are you talking
about? Look, you over here screaming, nigga.
What are you talking about?
Bro, don't run on my porch.
What are you talking about?
Don't run over here. You what screaming nigga and shit, bro. Like, why are you screaming nigga?
What are you talking about?
You out here screaming nigga.
You're talking to my daughter.
And I'm
what are you
saying, I'm
about?
Telling you what I'm talking about. You're
don't
screaming nigga.
My daughter.
You're screaming nigga.
I didn't say nigger.
You been screaming nigger. You said you ain't got a right to say neither one.
You ain't got the
bro,
right.
Bro, go ahead,
you
bro.
You know what? Here, nigger.
Yo, man.
Here, nigger.
That's what I'm getting
you
at.
You know what? Here,
nigger.
Cock, nigger.
All right.
Here, nigger. Well, you know what?
This
you,
is
you
what happens in Pennsylvania.
Say nigger, nigger, nigger on fucking TV.
Look at you.
I'm on video. And then you're going to talk to me, nigger. Come off your porch, nigger.
I was disgusted and sickened watching that. I don't know if the guy that was in his house videotaping it provoked the guy, even if he did. And he was rather calm and reasoned. But man, oh man. And a lot of times, stereotypes and our preconceived notions are right. I want you to visualize. I'm going to play this again for a moment. Oh, wait.
You over here?
I'm going to play this again, and I want you to visualize in your head what you think the guy yelling the N-word looks like. And he's a, what a real dumbass. I didn't say the A, I didn't say the E-R, I said the A. Oh my God.
Shut up, what are you talking about?
Look, you over here screaming nigger.
What are you talking about?
Bro, don't run on my porch.
What are you talking about?
Don't run over here, you screaming nigger and shit, bro. Like, why are you screaming nigger?
What are you talking about?
You out here screaming nigger.
You're talking to my daughter.
And I'm saying, I'm telling you what I'm talking about. You're screaming nigger.
My daughter,
you're screaming nigger.
Okay, even if he was talking to his daughter, I can't tell if he was being disrespectful, but there are better ways to handle that. And the guy who was being so combative, approaching the guy who was videoing him from inside of his porch, inside the screen door, is sadly exactly what you would look like. I like to think, and I believe, that I'm better than that person. I can't do anything. Now, look, that kind of hatred is obviously learned. That guy did not come out of his mother and screaming the N-word and hating black people. He learned it. But I can't do anything about those circumstances. In a very micro way, I cannot do anything about someone's home life or how they're brought up or on a larger scale in a micro way. I can't affect their education levels. Maybe I got to go to a better school system. I think I had great parents, but someone else might've gone to a better school system than I am. Education is such an important part of our lives, and it can help us unlearn. It can widen our minds to help us question the hatred that might be learned in the home. Thankfully, this dude's wife at the end of this, you know, or the woman pulled him away. And even if he was drunk, it's no excuse. But when I hear people say, you're no better than anybody else, I get it. It's a general phrase that you throw out there, but generalizing and generalities are often wrong. And the reality is that I'm better than that person. And I can't do anything about the circumstances, how he grew up, where he grew up, or where he got his education, as opposed to mine. And I wouldn't say that the ship has sailed for that person turning his life around. Maybe the fact that this thing has been retweeted thousands and thousands of times, he'll see what a hateful asshole, a hateful prick he is. He'll go, wow. He'll look in the mirror and change his ways. I don't know. But at the moment, I'm better than that guy is. And to go back to my point from earlier, granted, it's genetic stuff. I think I'm a pretty decent human being. I'm not perfect. No one is. I'm going to make mistakes. I'm going to make mistakes professionally, personally, in my relationship, in my friendships. I irritate my brother every now and then when I don't expect to. So I'm not perfect, but I think I'm a pretty good person. But there are people like that guy I talked about on Instagram. He's better looking than me. And that's just what it is. Some people have that DNA head start that others don't have. But when it comes to learn stuff like that, I wish everybody could start in the same spot and come up the same way, so we didn't have instances of devastating hatred like that. So I'm not perfect. I'm not the best looking. I know there are people that are better looking than I am. Like my dad told me from a very young age when I was playing sports, don't be cocky. You might be the biggest and throw the fastest right now, but there's somebody out there that's better than you. And he told me that to kind of keep me modest and instill a little bit of humility in me, but also to push me to go, you know what, there's somebody out there that's better than me. I want to do what I can to catch up to where they are. So I guess the upshot here, after unpacking, I hate using that word. I read it everywhere now. We've gone from drill down to unpacking. But after unpacking all of this for you, the reality is we are not all the same. There is a human hierarchy, but oftentimes can't do anything about many of those circumstances. Trigger Meals on the way. All right, I think I hit all the right buttons now for part two of the podcast. I waited. If you haven't eaten yet, this is not going to be the part of the podcast you're going to want to listen to, because we're going to be talking about a lot of food, a lot of greasy, tasty, delicious, comfort food for like the next half an hour or so. It's Eric Chase. Let me introduce a couple of people. I always like when I get to meet people that I talk to on the internet, and it's like we got real friendships, but I've never actually met Tyler, especially you. Ladies and gentlemen, especially Samantha, let me introduce Tyler Bowers.
You even said the F word.
Did I say friend?
You said the F word.
Internet friend. Internet friend.
Got to clarify.
If Tyler has long been a fan of the show and on Twitter and social media, and if not for Tyler retweeting these things like crazy, I wouldn't know about Deontay Shivers. I got that right?
Shivers? Yeah.
A.K.A. Trigger Meals. Mm-hmm. And I've talked about it a bunch. I've told my BG friends about you.
Okay.
And I'm glad that you could take some time to come up here.
No problem, man. Thanks for having me.
Your food looks delicious. You got a good story, but the reason that I said I got to get you up here is because you're doing really good things, and I have just noticed over the last month or so, I had no idea that kids not having school supplies, mm-hmm. particularly backpacks, mm-hmm. was such a big deal. So we'll work backwards. You're collecting backpacks for kids, right?
Yes, I'm actually in the process. I actually just started on Tuesday, August 14th. I've been collecting backpacks and everything, and for each backpack that I get, I'm going to fill it up with school supplies and everything so I can give it back to the kids, particularly the kids in BG, but kids back home in my hometown as well.
Where are you from? Are you from the Detroit area?
Yeah, I'm from Detroit.
Where are you from?
I'm from the east side of Detroit.
Okay.
Canfield and 75, Paul Robeson Projects. I grew up in project housing.
Okay.
So, I just a couple times over the summer, I went back down to my old neighborhood and I saw the kids there and everything. And I saw me and a lot of those kids. And I remember what it was like needing someone outside of family. So,
right.
now that I'm in a position to help people out, I'm going to do just that. You know, use my blessing to be someone's blessing.
And your blessing is cooking delicious-looking comfort food?
That is my blessing.
Let's go. We'll come back to the backpacks. And, okay. And I forget the number. And Tyler, you'll be like the co-host here, so you can fill in some details if I get anything wrong.
All right.
Since you're the connection here. You're the unpaid promo guy for Sugar Meals.
Hey, that boy be retweeting, man.
For real. He wants his free meals.
No, he got us on before.
Was it 37 or 47?
It was 47.
47. Yeah. Dots. All right, so mm-hmm. People might have seen the story. The WTOL did, or NBC 24. Mm-hmm. So you're getting out there, and you were you went to BG.
Yes.
How'd you land at BG from Detroit? What drew you to the school?
Football? Yeah.
Okay.
Couple coaches, knew some coaches down there. I was a all-city wide receiver when I graduated.
What school did you go to?
Frederick Douglass.
Okay.
Yeah, Detroit Douglass. They had too many offers coming out. I had a few that I turned down to go down and walk on at BG. And things didn't really go in my favor. So.
What years were this? When did you play? Or did you play at all?
No, I walked on in 2015, but my first day out there, I broke my hand. Oh. So I never actually suited up for BG.
Bad injury luck at that school. I think those were the years. Was his name Matt Johnson?
Matt Johnson. That's my brother, Matt Johnson.
And I kind of connected with him, at least because I'm from Pennsylvania. And I think he's from Harrisburg.
Yep, Harrisburg. Yep.
And that offense was really explosive.
Yeah.
They were going to kind of mimic the Oregon offense, and he was going to be like the Mariota. And I think he got hurt twice, right?
No, he got hurt once.
Got hurt once?
That was 2014. That was the year after they won the first MAC championship.
Right.
And the first game against Western Kentucky, he got tackled and he was sidelined for the whole season.
Bad injury luck.
Yeah, but yeah, that's my boy. Shout out to Matty J.
When did you graduate?
2017.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's your degree in?
Communications.
Communications. Mm-hmm. Here you go. Welcome to the show.
Yeah.
So how did the cooking stuff? How did you wind up with $47? And how did the Trigger Meals come about?
I've been cooking since forever.
Okay.
My dad is a chef. My brother's a chef as well. And my mom cooked a lot. And in March 1st, 2016, my mom unexpectedly passed away. And, it was just hard financially and everything. So from March until July, when I actually started Trigger Meals, you know, I was just in a real tough financial situation. And one night I made some chicken fried rice, and My great friend Gerard, that's my boy. He came over. You know, we were talking, and he was like, "Man, you know, you should sell food." And because prior to me moving up on my own, we were roommates.
Okay.
So I used to cook at the old house all the time, and
everybody wants to be Deontay's roommate.
Yeah. he was like, "Man, you know, you should start selling this, man. Like, this is good. You know, plus it he knew my situation. He knew what I was dealing with, and." He like, you know, this would be a great way to bring in some income, you know, doing what you love to do. And to be honest, I really wasn't big on the idea, like, at all.
Right.
I know what intentions or cooking, you know. I sat on the idea and I posted it to Twitter.
Okay.
And I, you know, just made like a sample menu. And I asked everyone, like, you know, if I was to do this, would y'all support it? Because I know what it's like being a student on campus. You get tired of the campus food, and you just want some home-cooked food. A lot of people, they're hours away from home. And so the feedback was, like, unreal. Like, everyone was telling me, like, man, you do it, man. If you do it, I'm buying food, like, no matter what, whatever, whatever. So this was July 24th. So on July 26th was my actual first day of starting Trigger Meals. And the night before, like I said, I didn't have much money to my name.
$47,
man. And I went to Walmart, got everything that I needed, and July 26, 2016, that was the first day.
Did you start cooking at a Ziggy's right away? Or?
No, I actually started cooking from my apartment.
Okay.
And it was a small studio apartment. It was small, man. And man, it used to get so hot in there, man, and it was like, if it was a full day that I was cooking, more than likely I had my door open the whole time. So a lot of people would smell the food, like, man, you know what you in here cooking?
And I'm right.
Like, oh, you know, them Trigger Meals. Hey, what is Trigger Meals? And now, you know, I had to tell them what it was. And
where'd you come up with the name?
Well, Trigger, it was a nickname given to me. Actually, my basketball coach gave me that nickname. It was probably possibly one of the most fluke games I've ever had in my life. I don't know what it was, this game, or what I drank before, but I just couldn't miss. And I remember I had just hit a three-pointer from the corner, and as we were walking back, the other team called a timeout, and as we were walking back to the bench, he was like, "Okay, you shooting today, huh, Trigger?" And it stuck with me. And that, the meals is pretty self-explanatory.
Right.
You know, but
when you started to cook, what, you had an idea of a menu in your head, or did you like cooking certain things? Because I see what it is now. What was it like back in July?
Yeah, when I first started, my meals were real limited, man. It was like chicken rice, steak rice, or chicken and steak. Did a couple like corned beef egg rolls. I did a lot of pasta, but my menu was it was real limited, man. I knew that I could make the things that I was making now,
right?
But I just didn't have, I would say, all the tools and necessities and everything.
Not in the studio apartment. Yeah,
not at, oh my god, man.
But you know what? Having the door open was probably some of the best advertising you could have.
Yeah, and it was unintentional, man. it was hot in there, man.
I either pass out or reopen the door.
It was hot, man. And people knew when I had just got done cooking, because I could get done cooking and I'd go sit and, you know, hang around in the student union. And, man, you smell like food. And then I heard it all the time, man. So I'm like, man, I got to get out of this apartment, man.
So how'd you wind up at Ziggy's?
Well, Ziggy's, the owner, his name's Joe. Great, great guy, man. He told me what he was doing. He was monitoring Trigger Meals for like a month or so. He said he would always see it pop up on his timeline. But he just thought it was something on Twitter, but he would continuously see it every day, because I tell people each day to retweet for a chance to win a free meal. That's my promotional thing. And he said he, you know, would see it every single day. And when he clicked the page and realized that I was in Bowling Green, he had asked some of his employees who, they were college students. And he asked him, like, you know, have you guys ever heard of Trigger Meals? Have you ever had it? And everyone who was working there at the time, they either had it or knew someone that had it and they loved it. So he reached out to me through Twitter, and I thought it was someone pranking me, man. I remember it was a Sunday night. I had just made a meal for my friend, her name Desiree, and we were sitting talking, catching up, because I hadn't seen her in years. And I got the notification and I read it, and I'm like, man, read this, you know. Is he asking me to move into Ziggy's? And she read it. She's like, I think he asking you if you want to move into Ziggy's. I'm like, nah, man, it's somebody playing, man. Like, it's somebody playing. But, you know, I wrote him back, and a couple days later, we met up, and it was real. It was like, whoa, like, you want me to move into here, man? Like, and we met probably two or three times, and, you know, we finalized everything, and April 2nd was the start date.
This past spring.
Yep.
What was, did, I, we don't have to get into like nitty gritty business details, but did he just want like a cut?
No,
he just wanted to offer you a place to cook.
Mm-hmm. It was an opportunity to expand, you know. And it was beneficial to the both of us,
right?
You know. And that's pretty much all it was.
Cause I know about Ziggy's from when I used to do club nights down at Clazelle, mm-hmm. and I'd go down there and people would talk, and Tyler, hop in here. I know that Ziggy's has always been a BG spot. And I do know, I've lived enough places to know, bars, clubs, college places, like, they got to change and evolve and can't be the same thing. And I guess that's what Joe was thinking with you.
Yeah. That's why a lot of the meals that I make, I try to not stick to traditional menu items, because you can go anywhere in BG to get a burger or, you know, whatever. So I try to do things that's not offered there. I think that's what draws a lot of people to the
corned beef egg rolls. Never heard of them before. Never heard of them.
Great, man. Buffalo chicken fries.
So what do you have, a genre that you call your food? It's a lot of fried rice. So I guess I think Chinese food, but
no, because I make so many different things.
It goes way farther than that.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to put a title on it. But I make some of everything, man.
So Ziggy's has worked out great, right? Yeah. Or tell me something about that. What was it like going from the studio to having a real kitchen?
I was nervous, man.
Really?
Oh my God, I was so nervous. When we finalized everything and we made the announcement on Twitter that night, I'm like, wow, man, like man, I'm about to move into, like, I knew business was going to pick up, you know. And compared to cooking at home, I used to take pre-orders. Mm-hmm. So I would take like 10 to 15 pre-orders. That way I knew how much food I would have to buy. That way I'm not wasting anything.
Right.
So once I took the pre-orders, I would begin to take other orders. So it was kind of like a, not a first come, first serve type thing. But once you lock in with the pre-order, then you good. Compared to Ziggy's, I got a way, you know, more space. So I'm like, do I want to continue to take pre-orders or no? So I'm like, all right, I'm going to do walk-ins. And I'm like, man, I'm nervous about walk-ins. But I'm like, nothing to it but to do it, man.
Right.
You know.
So the first night, were you overwhelmed?
Actually, no, not at all.
Okay.
Probably for like the first 20 minutes.
Okay.
I had a great friend who cooks in Detroit, and he cooks from home. And his he came down to help me. You know, when I first started, I called him because he's real big in Detroit. Shout out to Chefy 40. He's real big in Detroit. And I called him like, you know, how can I do this to do this? You know, just to get some basic information from him. And when I told him that I was moving into Ziggy's, he's like, man, I'm coming down to help you. I'm like, all right, cool. You know, he helped me out a whole lot. He showed me how to prep up to make sure everything is ready to go. And I just got a lot of advice from him and everything, and probably after like the first week, you know, I felt like I was cooking from home again.
Tyler, when did you find Trigger Meals?
I think I want to say it was in either December or January.
How many times have you eaten it?
Tough. A bunch.
Man.
I don't even know if I could put a number to that. I think actually though the first time I tried it was when I won a free meal.
Yeah, you won a free meal. It was a bread bowl, wasn't it?
I think it might have been.
Yeah, I think it was a pasta bread bowl.
And that probably one of his best meals.
Yeah.
I gotta say that. But I've had it easily 20 plus times.
What's it like in the kitchen now at Ziggy's? Do you have a menu? How does it work?
Well, I'm very like indecisive about putting a menu order. I kind of like doing a different meal each day. I don't want to be limited to a menu. A lot of people ask me for a menu, but I kind of like how it's going now, so I probably won't put out a menu. I have like written up a menu, but I've yet to get it like printed and everything. So, but it's a different meal each day.
I don't know if you recognize this, but I do. The fact that you are, and we'll keep going with this. I love this story. Like this is great to hear. But the fact that you now have a successful business that's only going to keep growing,
mm-hmm.
and you don't have a menu, and people just come for whatever you're making.
Mm-hmm.
That's incredible.
Yeah, man. I still get like that wow factor like each time, like, because anywhere I go in town, someone recognizes me, and it's
wild.
It's like wow, man, like,
there's no recognizable BG player, not since Antonio Daniels, but you are now the face.
Yeah, and it's just wild, man, because I never thought I would be in this position, man. You know, I'm 27 years old and I'm in a sense doing what I want to do.
Yeah.
You know, especially fresh out of college, it takes some time, you know. And actually, when I first graduated college, my first job out of college was through this cleaning company. And it was just something to get by, you know. Business, I was still cooking from home.
Mm-hmm.
So when I didn't have the community support yet, it was strictly students. So when they went home for the summer, business just slowed down like
sure.
drastically, man. I would probably sell maybe 5 to 10 meals a day. And so I'm like, man, you know, I need something to, you know, I still got bills to be paid. And first job I had, it was through this cleaning company, and I was cleaning a warehouse, like one of the big warehouses in BG, we would, you know, sweep, mop, clean toilets and everything. And I'm like, man, this is, man, I just graduated, man. Like, I have a degree, man. And I was gonna quit, like, eventually. But I'm like, you know, let me get save up, get a couple checks, and find something better. But the guy ended up letting me go. Okay. He was upset that I had a job interview for Huntington Bank, and he was upset that I chose to go there instead of coming in to work, which he knew that I had the interview, but he called me a no call, no show.
Okay.
So he ended up letting me go. And I think that was one of the biggest blessings in disguise, because sure. I'm like, okay, now I don't have a job anymore with this income coming in once a week. I have to focus on my business, you know. And I put more into it. I sat down. I made all these meals. I took all these pictures. I had to get the right angle from the picture to make sure it's cool to post it.
Any Instagram model knows that. It's about lighting and the angle.
It's about that angle, man. And
it's such a modern day story where spent a lot of money on college, not using that degree. It's write up to BG and be like, here's what I you got to pay me now.
Man, they need to give me a refund right. for that degree, man. I don't use it, man.
You and like half everybody else, but you go on Twitter, get some pictures out there, and before you know it, you get to do what you love.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
And it's a huge blessing, man. I don't take it for granted, like, at all.
I can tell.
You know, each day, every morning, every night before I go to bed, you know, I pray to continue to grow my business. Like I said, I don't take it for granted at all, man. And that's with anything. You should never take anything for granted, because the second you begin to take advantage and not be as thankful for it as you were in the beginning, when you see growth, it can be taken away from you, just like that, man.
Work as hard on that last day as you do on the first day.
Definitely.
I want to come back to where this thing is all going, and maybe what you hope for. But now people are like weaved into this.
Mm-hmm.
So backpacks.
Yeah.
How are we doing that?
We it was something that I've been planning to do, but recently this guy caught me out on Twitter, and he was just talking big stuff, and he proposed a bet. Well, in his tweet, he said that he would bet a large amount of money that one of his friends would beat me in a cooking competition. And, you know, I gave like the humble answer, like, I'm sure he would, you know. I didn't want to entertain it, but I get those type of tweets a lot, you know, whether I respond to him or not. I feel, you know, I never like proclaim to be the best cooker or anything. I'm just doing what I love to do.
Right.
You know, I'm pretty sure it's millions of people who could cook better than me, man, you know. But it was just one day, I'm like, all right, man. I'm like, all right, I'll take you up on that offer, you know. But the loser has to buy 50 backpacks and school supplies for the kids, you know.
Okay.
It's not about me anymore. I know I'm going to be good at the end of the day. I'm in a position to give back, you know, and that's what I want to do. Like I said, I grew up in project housing, you know. Times got hard for us when I was growing up. And when I went back down there, it was a kid who stood out to me. The first time I went down there was like a Thursday or Friday. And when I went back down there on Sunday, he had on the same clothes. And I'm like, man, like, these kids need help.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not sure what position that they're in. I don't know their parents. I don't know anything. But if I'm in a position to help these kids, then I'm going to do just that, you know. And a lot of the things that I plan to do, I don't talk about it much, because I don't want people to think that anything that I'm doing is for the publicity or to bring people into to support my business. Anything that I'm ever doing for anyone comes from the heart. That's something that my mom taught me. You know, if you do something for someone, do it from the heart.
Yeah.
So a lot of the things that I've done so far, I don't talk about.
Isn't it much more something that I've worked on in the last year? Tyler knows this. With me not having a regular job, I've done a lot of community things, like mental health and animal are important to me. Mm-hmm. And animals are important to me. And the intrinsic fulfillment is far better than the money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely, man. You know, I was never big on money. You know, it was something that never really caught my attention. You know, it's nice to have,
mm-hmm.
you know. But money doesn't buy happiness.
Yep. It's like, you know, it's like sports. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if any of your coaches ever talked about this, but it's like, practice your butt off, mm-hmm. practice hard, sweat, be prepared, and the shots and the wins and losses will fall as they may. If you're mm-hmm. prepared and you do what you need to, things will work out in your favor.
Everything else will fall into place.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So was there a cooking contest?
No, we actually, in the process, we setting up like a date and everything now, and we were just, you know, smoothing out details, what's going to be made, how we're going to pick the judges. But in the meantime, I've been accepting backpack donations, and for each up to five. Okay, let me get my words together.
No, take your time.
I've been accepting backpack donations, and for each backpack that I receive, I give away a free meal.
Great.
You know, just people hear the word free, you know, and they're more willing to come in and, you know, do what's asked of them, you yep. know. So
they can bring it to Ziggy's?
Mm-hmm, they can bring it to Ziggy's. I do up to five free meals each day. But that doesn't mean you can't drop off a backpack if, you know, you want to. But
yeah, don't do it for the free food. Do it for what you talked
yeah,
about.
Do it for the kids, man.
Let's go back to something we talked about before we got on the air. More giving back that you're doing. You want to mentor people.
Yeah, mentoring was is actually something that I'm big on as well. When I first came into college, I didn't have anyone to show me the ways. You know, I was down there for all the wrong reasons, man. Partying, trying to get the girls, yep. whatever, you know. And it affected my grades. I was actually kicked out of Bowling Green for 2.5 years.
Look at that.
You know, and I sat out of school for 2.5 years. And
did you go back home or you just hang out in
yeah,
BG?
I went back home for a year. Then I eventually moved back to BG, but I was just hanging around. I wasn't taking classes or anything. And you know, it was hard, you know, seeing everyone that I started school with slowly but surely leaving. And it's like everyone was in the fast lane and I'm stuck in the slow lane, you mm-hmm. know, everyone passing me up. But I remember this one night, you know, right before I moved, I was sitting with my mom and, you know, we laughing, talking, having a good time. And I was just telling her, like, you know, everyone is being a success but me. I feel like I failed, you know. But she, like, she told me success has no time frame. Mm-hmm. You know, rather it take a year or 10 years, you know, if you do what your heart was set on, once you accomplish it, it doesn't matter how long it took you to get there. And, you know, that one stuck with me. And as far as the mentoring thing, I see a lot of kids who come down and they focus on all the wrong things. So if I could help them avoid making some of the same mistakes that I did, to which put me in a tough position, not many people would have that fight and that willpower to make it out of the situation that they were in. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people would sit and blame others for the mistakes that they did. And I know that firsthand because I was that person. I blamed everyone else for my mistakes.
It's a societal problem. Mm-hmm. All of us. Flip on Twitter. It's never your fault. It's somebody else's. And yeah. if you can learn to flip that mm-hmm. and be accountable to yourself, mm-hmm. you'll get farther faster.
And that's something that my dad always told me. He always told me, as a man, you have two options. You man up and face your mistakes, you know, and wrong your rights. I mean, right your wrongs, I'm sorry. Or you could blame other, you know, anyone else. And I just was at that point. I'm like, I can't blame my brother for me not going to class. I can't blame mm-hmm. my mom for me not studying for this test. And I've accepted the fact that I made those mistakes. And I've found a way to, like I said, just make it better. You know, I enrolled back in school in 2014 or 15. But I was tested, like, almost instantly, because the first semester I enrolled back into BG, two of my friends and my grandmother passed away within 1 month. And it's like, dang, like, you know, wow, yeah. man. But I'm like, I can't let it stop me. That's just giving me more reason to keep going. Mm-hmm. And 3 months later, my mom passed. And it's like, what? Like, wow, man.
Yeah.
Like,
why?
You know? And I'm like, I'm done. I can't do it no more. I need a break from school. And I remember, this was before Trigger Meals and everything, and I remember walk into the administration building. I was about to go withdraw from my classes, and I promise I'm not making this up, man. And walk into the classes. It was a gloomy day, and I stopped in front of the administration building, and I said, I know if I go withdraw from these classes, I'm never coming back to school again. Like, I'm not coming back to school. And it was just like a voice in my head just telling me, don't do it.
Was it your mom?
Yeah, I believe it had to be. You know, and I turned and I walked away. And she passed March 2016, and I graduated May 2017. So I had to take classes in the summer. Spring, I had to overload. But I'm like, that's just more reason for me to keep going.
Yep.
You know, every day I pride myself on being the man that she raised me to be. When times got hard for us, she didn't give up. You know, my dad didn't give up. So why should I?
Mm-hmm.
You know, why should I give up? And they did. So it's tough, man. It's tougher than what people think it is. But I've been told, like, numerous times, people see me as an inspiration.
Absolutely.
And people, they come to me all the time, man. You know, you don't know how much you inspire me. And that's something that I've always wanted to do as well. I didn't know my story would be as rough as it is, but I've always wanted to inspire people, because where I come from, not a lot of people make it out. I'm actually, in my neighborhood, I'm the only one to actually go in my age group to go and graduate college.
Yeah, I'm sure. I know the neighborhood. I'm familiar with Detroit. I live there. There are people who, if they were taking bets, somebody like you was not going away to BG. Maybe you go to Wayne State. Mm-hmm. Maybe you hang out and go to Detroit Mercy.
Mm-hmm. Wayne County. Or
right.
Henry Ford or something.
Something community.
Yeah. But
this boy's not going away to, you know, maybe play football in BG. Nah, it's not happening. So I think your story is inspiring, and I think you're going to be able to inspire even more people, because the food's going to bring them in.
Yeah, definitely.
And then they're going to be like, hey, what was this story? The $47? Mm-hmm. Where'd you come from?
Yeah.
And you get that opportunity, and before you know it, the food is on the back burner.
Mm-hmm. And we talking.
Figuratively and literally.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's one kid, and then two kids, and then 10 kids who might be doing the same thing, walk into that administration building, and then they go, that was some really good buffalo chicken fries. Mm-hmm. But you know what? He stayed in school.
So, and that's what I wanted to do, man. Just inspired, just because I didn't give up, man. I wanted to, man. I'm not
giving up's easy.
It's so easy, but you know, the real test of any man, I feel your character is built when you hit with adversity.
Here's the line I like. Adversity doesn't build character, it reveals it.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely.
Good word, Tyler. Get hop in there. I want to ask you a couple other things as we get closer to wrapping up here. Did you go to Ann Arbor and OSU already?
No, I'm actually putting together a college tour for those who don't know. Every time someone retweets my tweet, I have people from all over Ohio and Michigan asking me to come to their schools. And I actually know, like, I'm a huge Michigan fan. Go Blue. And I know a couple players up there. I know a couple players at Michigan State. And I'm like, you know, I wanted to initially just go up there, hang out for a couple of days, cook for a couple of players, possibly meet the coaches and everything. But
Nothing big. Just hang out. Just, Harbaugh,
and that's my dream, man. So my dream is actually to meet Jim Harbaugh, man. Cook for him, like, whatever.
Wait, you know, what was the thing he said about chicken a couple weeks ago? Did you hear that?
Yeah.
Chicken. He don't eat chicken,
so I know not to make Harbaugh no chicken fries, man.
Because it's a crazy bird. Yeah. you take on the traits of that. Bird has anxiety, you'll get the anxiety.
Mm-hmm. But, then a lot of people from, Kent State, Akron, OU. I'm actually going to start my college tour off at OU. And I'm going to do that within the next couple weeks, probably opening weekend.
I got some business questions based off of that. When you go out of the area, so that means you can't serve the base at Ziggy's, or you leave some food behind, somebody else cooks?
No, because I'm going to go on the days that I don't cook at Ziggy's.
Got it, okay.
So it's not like anyone is missing out or anything.
Got it. Okay.
So
other thing, maybe it's not quite right for the time, let it grow a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
But I would maybe throw out there the caveat, if you want me to come, you got to let me tell my story in some way, too.
I didn't think about that, man.
Yeah. And let the kids do it. Because, you know, share the podcast. Because mm-hmm. that's the thing. You want me to fill your belly with this food?
Yeah.
Let me share the story and inspire you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't think of that, man.
There you go.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I think I could
really just like add to the tour.
Exactly.
That definitely, man.
So what are you thinking long term? Like, I feel like there will be a Trigger Meals brick and mortar store.
Yeah. I know I want a food truck.
Okay.
That way I could go to different festivals and Absolutely. Universities and just go, you know, find somewhere to park and just get the meals going. I've been thinking about a, you know, small type of restaurant. I would probably open it in BG, you know, find somewhere I could do it there. And
the food truck will be a gold mine.
Yeah, I believe Absolutely. So, man. I believe so.
There was a kid who was trying to get some space downtown in Toledo.
Mm-hmm.
Lyle's Crepes. Mm-hmm. He just wanted to make crepes. And I brought him in here to talk to him, and we did a podcast, and he was set on a storefront. I'm like, get a food truck.
Mm-hmm.
Just get a food truck. And now he's got his food truck, and he's going everywhere. It's got to be so much cheaper.
Yeah. And, you know, actually, food trucks are definitely cheaper, way cheaper than I thought they were. They're not, I'm not going to say cheap because I just can't go afford one right now. But
it's not $1,000 a month in rent.
Not at all. Not at all, man. And, I've priced a few. I've saw a few that I was interested in.
Do you have a dream vehicle?
A dream vehicle,
like the Trigger Meals ambulance, the Trigger Meals tank wouldn't go very fast.
The Trigger Meals mobile.
Trigger. That's what
Come
I was.
Come on, Bowers.
That's what I was gonna name the truck, the food Meals truck. No, Trigger Meals on wheels.
I love that.
That's what I was
Meals on Wheels might mm-hmm. sue you, but
Trigger Meals on Wheels.
I like that. So food truck would be like the next big step.
Yeah, that's something that I definitely want to do, man.
And then when you share the recipes or have like an apprentice, would you talk about like a restaurant in BG? I don't know. What kind of a restaurant would you envision?
Just something small, man.
Okay.
In a hole type of, you know, hole in the wall type of thing.
Okay.
And just do what I do at Ziggy's in my own place.
And then maybe in 25 years, we'll be talking about the birth of Trigger Meals
mm-hmm.
and across the country, like just like you see a Subway, mm-hmm. McDonald's,
you'll
Trigger Meals.
Trigger Meals.
is that like a dream, a wish? It'd be nice, I guess, right?
But the biggest thing is to open something here and back in Detroit.
Okay.
And to continue to help people out, man. That's my main goal, to be able to help others. I'm working on something real big,
okay.
like that I hope to start in 2019 that's going to be affiliated with the school.
Okay. BG?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I haven't told many people, but I have to get the word trying out of my vocabulary. What I'm doing, I'm putting together a scholarship.
Okay.
To where it's going to be open to those kids that lost a parent.
Okay.
I've yet to come up with the criteria or whatever, but I'm going to award probably two people each semester a scholarship to help them pay for their school and everything.
It's awesome.
And it's going to be fully funded by me. Just because I know what it's like, you know, mm-hmm. waking up every day and your parent is not they're in the physical form, mm-hmm. you know, they in your heart, but you would rather much have them there physically, you mm-hmm. know. I know what it's like not being able to call on my mom in my time of need in my financial situations. So,
yep.
like I said, I'm in a position to help other people. It's no longer about me anymore.
Right.
You know, and I'm using my blessing to be a blessing, man. And I have to do it, man.
Blessings for your belly and
both. Bless the belly.
Now my business mind is real. Like, if I can, I don't have a lot of connections in BG like I do here,
mm-hmm.
but I'd love to help if I can, because this is a great story.
Yeah, thank you, man.
And if not for Bowers retweeting
Shout out
every
to
night,
Ty, man.
After I've already eaten. You have anything you want to add?
You were quote tweeting me in him as much as I was retweeting him.
Half the times you don't eat shrimp, right?
I don't eat shrimp.
Right, you don't eat shrimp.
Half the times I only knew what he was serving for the night because you quote tweeted me in him.
But everything else I'm down for. Okay. Fried rice, all the I love buffalo stuff.
And it's so crazy, I don't eat shrimp either.
Okay.
You know, I make a lot of shrimp, but I do not eat. I don't eat seafood at all.
I know there was one night that you were doing a two for 15 mm-hmm. or something, and you quote tweeted me, and I was like, well, I'll have a second person.
I remember that.
You were like, oh, well, what about me? And I was like, get down here then.
I know. I remember that. I don't get to BG much. I'm a terrible person.
Yeah, and then the one time you come down to BG and you say, hey, I'm at BG, and I message you back and you're like, oh, I'm gone.
It was the fastest interview of my life. My bad. You know, it's wild.
Was it, you just came in and they're like, get out.
It kind of felt like that. BG has some hidden gems. Like, so I'm from Philadelphia originally. Mm-hmm. Somebody told me about Mr. Spots long ago.
Yeah, Mr. Spots, yeah.
It's legitimate. It's authentic as you can get outside of Philadelphia. I mean, there's places that's like Philly. It should say Philly style cheesesteak because it's not a Philly cheesesteak. But I go in there. They got pictures of Reggie White up there. Mm-hmm. Veterans Stadium. It was when I went there with some friends for the first time. I'm like, yeah, this is, you know, without driving 600 miles east, this is legit. Yeah. I think they get their rolls flown in from the East Coast.
No, I didn't know that.
I think. I'm not sure.
Kaiser roll?
Yeah. I think it's like, I think they might be like Amoroso.
Yeah.
Because the water back east is what makes the bread taste different. Mm-hmm. And that's how I think they bring it out. I might be wrong, but it's kind of neat. I walked in there. Their sandwiches are named after neighborhoods I grew up in.
Okay. Well, that's cool.
That was cool. Like Bustleton and Aramingo and Parkwood. Point being, BG, for the small size that it is, has some great places to eat.
Yeah, definitely.
What's the pizza place that closed?
Miles.
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 Yep.
And now it's Pizza Pub 516.
Have you been there yet?
I haven't been there yet. It tastes almost exactly the same. If I heard right, I think the only thing that changed was the sauce recipe, maybe. But like the style is almost exactly the same. I think they kept all the staff when they reopened.
And I know I haven't been, but I know everybody loves Campus Poly Eyes.
Yeah.
They have some great breadsticks.
The new BG Burgers place. I haven't tried
that yet.
Yeah, they got a real... My favorite is called the Jinx Burgers, named after the head coach of the football team.
And he might not be the head coach much longer.
Nah, he gonna turn it around, man.
Okay.
I got BG winning 7+ games this year.
Really? Yep. Okay.
Yeah, I got faith in my boys, man. Shout out to BG football, Mark Milton, Cono, Sanders, all y'all boys. And my boy, they gonna get it done. C2, J Money, go get it done, man. They doubting y'all. But
the Jinx Burger?
Yeah, the Jinx Burger. It's a burger, just a regular burger with turkey bacon and a fried egg.
Okay.
And I get it ketchup, mayo, mustard, some grilled onions, and they cheap too, man.
You could get
a burger and fry for probably like $6-7.
It's not bad at all.
It's not bad at all, man.
Last question as we wrap up. Give me another good food spot in BG that people, and Tyler, you too if you want, that people don't really know about that's on the down low.
I don't know how on the down low this is. Some people have heard of it, some people haven't. Rapid Fire Pizza.
Rapid Fire.
Never heard of it.
Pretty much think
Rapid Fire.
Subway, but pizza.
Get in, get out.
So, gotcha. Okay.
Well, and you go down, you build your pizza, you pick the sauce, you pick the cheese, you pick the toppings. You can have 10 toppings, and it costs the same as if you get two.
There's like a couple places like that up in Toledo now where they make it in like less than 5 minutes.
You can get personal pizza, maybe $5-6.
Isn't every pizza a personal pizza?
I mean, if you want to make it a personal pizza, I suppose.
I think Rapid Fire would be a good Southside 6.
Okay.
I think Southside 6 is a good one.
I met a friend of mine for coffee down there.
Grounds for Thought?
No, I think it's next to it. It's part comic book shop, part bookstore with a lot of comics, part coffee.
I mean, Grounds for Thought is a bookstore.
Is that what it... It might be that. It's probably that.
Okay. No,
but they have big comic book section, so I was looking at that, not the other stuff.
Have you been to the new comic store that opened in BG?
What's it called? The answer's no, but what's it called?
I forget... Yeah, I should have the name prepared if I was going to bring it up. It's like right next to Mr. Spots, though.
Okay.
So, I mean, next time you're going to Mr. Spots.
There you go. There's some real hidden gems. No longer hidden gem. Trigger Meals. Deontay, this was awesome.
Thank you.
I got more of an inspirational story than I expected. Thought we were going to be talking a lot about fried food and buffalo stuff, but your story is incredible. And having followed you just from afar, from media and Twitter, like, I knew this was going the right direction, but adding with your inspiring story and where you came from and how you're giving back, I wish you nothing but the best.
I appreciate you, man. Thanks for having me.
You're putting things out in the universe that are going to give back. And when you can't go to a single city in this country without seeing the Trigger Meals, I won't be surprised. Trigger Meals, Paris.
It's coming, man.
There you go. You'll have to make a special European menu.
Hey, I would love it, man.
Japanese menu.
I would love it, man.
Tyler, anything final as we wrap up? You want to tell Samantha Lutz to go F off? She trashed you on our Facebook page earlier.
Wait, did she really?
It's National Tell a Joke Day, and she said, joke, Tyler Bowers. Sorry.
I mean, she could go block herself.
There you go.
That's the first time I've said block this entire...
Block. Tyler is my official block person. When somebody says something stupid online, I get Tyler, and he blocks them.
What would you say if someone spits on you?
What was that one again?
It was just a Facebook...
Oh, God!
You brought it up on the show.
What would you do if someone spit on you? I don't know. I wouldn't like mention it on Facebook.
And they had their security settings set up, so I couldn't even respond to that. So I just saw that and I was like, all right, so that's a thing that exists.
Just got spit on. What do you think I should do, Facebook? I think you should go to Trigger Meals. Deontay, Tyler Bowers, internet sensation. Deontay Shivers, correct?
Yes, sir.
From Detroit all the way down into BG now. Thank you guys for coming and hanging out.
I appreciate you having me, man.
This has been a Cumulus Media and Q105 collaboration. Three unicorns were harmed and lost their rainbows and horns in the production process. We use cookies for various purposes, like eating, and flavor for protein shakes. And you have agreed to this and all other secret policies by enjoying the preceding audio content, which we highly encourage you to hashtag, subscribe, and share. You can click here for all other legal crap. And now hit skip intro to go to the next podcast. Just kidding. It's the See More Episodes option in your app. Q105.